So why don't you join me in welcoming Chelsea Berkman.
But the journey that got me there actually started a long time before that. When I was about 4 years old, I started coming here to Concordia Wesleyan Church with my family. In that same year, I made the decision to believe in Jesus. And then a few years later, when I was 8 years old, my mother went on a short-term missions trip to Russia. And as an eight-year-old, I thought that this was the coolest thing ever. It wasn't necessarily because I was a super spiritual child and thought, oh, my mom is going and spreading the gospel all over the world, but I just thought, you know, what a neat adventure. And so a little while later, at one of the church services, it was a mission Sunday, and it was Pastor Sykes, who was a pastor back then, but he gave a challenge to everyone in the congregation to consider signing a commitment to go on a missions trip sometime in their lives. And, you know, I was 8 years old, and I thought, this is really cool. So I signed my commitment right away and put it on the altar. And then every year after that, I would ask my parents, can I go on a short-term missions trip? And every year they would say, no, you have to wait until you're older. And so after a while, I lost interest in missions. But then when I got older, I went to Indiana Wesleyan University. And we had opportunities to go on missions trips every summer. Well, by this point, I actually didn't want to go on a missions trip. And people kept telling me, oh, there's a trip that you should sign up for. And I was like, well, I made this commitment to God. I suppose I have to go on a missions trip sometime. I might as well get it out of the way. So I signed up to go on a trip to Croatia, but that ended up not working out, and so we needed to find a different place to go, and my team leader started looking at different options, and one day she said to me, have you ever heard of Burkina Faso? And I said, Burkina what? Never heard of the country before, but she said, that's where we're going this summer. And so it was through some short-term missions trips to Burkina Faso that I felt that God was calling me to go back there long-term. And Burkina Faso is, for those of you who don't know, a small country in West Africa. It's on the edge of the desert, so during the cool season, it's in the 80s during the day, and then during hot season, it can get up to 120 degrees. And since it's in the desert, there's also a lot of sand and dust, and so it's really annoying when you wash your floor and it's all beautiful and sparkly clean. And then an hour later, there's so much dust on it that if I walk across it and look back, I can see my footprints. So that's kind of annoying. But Burkina Faso, because of all this dust, is also a very poor country. There's a lot of famine there. And they just get rain about 3 months of the year. It's the only time it rains. And sometimes it rains so much that the ponds get flooded. And then the crocodiles that are in the ponds kind of float out. And they float onto the streets. And then they hang out in the ditches next to people's houses. So that's always a little interesting. But as I said, it is a very poor country. Most people spend the whole day just working on farms. And they don't have tractors like we have here in Kansas. They just work with hoes. They have donkeys to plow the ground. And they raise just barely enough food to be able to feed their families. And maybe a little bit left over to sell. So it's very poor physically, but spiritually, it's also a very poor country. Statistically, about half of the people are Muslim. Another 40% practice animism, which means traditional tribal religions, and then less than 10% are Christian. And so the people have a lot of fear. They're afraid of sorcery, and they're afraid of spirits. And I saw in the news one day that there had been a robbery, and as the thief was trying to escape, some security guards started chasing him. But he kept getting farther and farther ahead, and at a certain point, he just disappeared, and they could not find him anywhere. So they looked all around. The only living thing that they saw was a goat. And so they actually arrested the goat and put it in jail. They thought that the robber was a sorcerer, that he would cast some kind of spell and turn himself into a goat, and that if they threw the goat in jail, after a few days, he would change back into a human and confess his crimes. But I think they're still waiting for that confession. But people really believe in the power of spells, and so they're always afraid that someone is going to get mad at them and put a spell like that on them. And they're also afraid of what the spirits can do to them. There's a custom in Burkina Faso that when a baby is born, they want everyone to know that whether it's a boy or a girl, so that you don't have any awkward moments and be like, oh, what a beautiful daughter you have, and then my dad is actually a son. So as soon as a baby girl is born, they will pierce her ears so that everyone knows this is a girl. But sometimes there's a baby boy that is born, and in the family there has recently been a death. And so the people might think, okay, the spirits are angry with our family, and they might try to kill our baby. Well, in that culture, baby boys are considered a lot more valuable than baby girls. And so they will actually pierce the ears of the baby boy, trying to trick the spirits, so the spirits will think, oh, this is a girl and it's not worth killing her. And so the people there just really need to know that there is someone who is more powerful than the evil spirits, and that there is someone who is more powerful than any spell that someone can cast on you, and that this person, Jesus, loves them. And so that is why I'm in Burkina Faso. And I work with Child Evangelism Fellowship, so a lot of my ministry is directly with children. And so I go to different elementary schools, and I teach Bible lessons to the kids and tell them how they can be saved and how they can grow in their faith. And I also invite the kids from my neighborhood to come over to my house once a week, and we have what's called a Good News Club, and I play games with them, and then I teach them a Bible lesson. And then I also have ministry where I work among adults, and I just teach them the importance of sharing the gospel with children and help train them for how to do that. And I have really seen God doing some great things in the lives of the children and the people there. When I first got to Burkina Faso, I met this girl in my neighborhood named Layla, and at that time she was about 6 years old, and she was one of those girls that I was glad she was coming to my Good News Club, but she drove me crazy. And I'm sure all of you children's workers know what I'm talking about. She needed to be there so she could hear what I was teaching, but she was constantly whining and hitting the other children. And she was really bossy and always trying to get her way. And so at the beginning, I'd have time for the kids to play with toys, and she'd say, okay, you can play with this toy. And you can play with this toy, and I'm going to play with all of these toys. But she kept coming back to my Good News Club week after week. And then one week, at the end of our time together, she came and she said, Chelsea, I want to believe in Jesus. And so I prayed with her. And then she invited her brother to come to our Good News Club. And he also believed in Jesus. And the two of them started coming to church with me every week. And they are from a Muslim family, but they actually invited their mother to come to church with us. And she said that she had seen such a change in her children's lives that she wanted to find out what it was about. And so she went to church, and she also gave her life to God. And then she invited all of the ladies in her neighborhood to come to church as well. And Layla, as I said, she's changed so much that her mother noticed a difference. But you can still tell that she is the same Layla. She is still a bossy child. But now she uses her bossiness more constructively. So now she'll say things like, you, no hitting. Jesus doesn't like hitting. Or you need to share that toy with her. So she's the same child, but God has definitely moved in the inside of her, and he's making a difference. And so that's just one example of how I have seen God working in the children in Burkina Faso. And so I know that God is doing great things, but before I went to Burkina Faso, I actually did not want to go. I was scared, and I was praying, God, please don't make me go here. And I kept trying to tell him, I am not the right person for this job. And I had a whole list of reasons why I was not the right person. And one of those reasons was the language. The official language in Burkina Faso is French, but there's 70 different tribal languages as well. And before I went to Burkina Faso, I went to language school to learn French, but it was hard. And one time I was talking with a friend in French, and he said that from time to time he preaches at his church. Well, the word for preach in French is prêcher, and the word for sin is péché. So it's just one R that's different. And so what I wanted to say to him was, well, the next time you preach, you should invite me and I'll come. So, being a great missionary, I actually said, the next time you sin, you should invite me and I'll come. So I thought, you know, God, this is a good reason why you should choose someone else to be a missionary. But fortunately, God has helped me a lot with the French. But since the children are here, I thought we might actually learn a little bit of French. Actually, I think a lot of the children left. But we're going to learn how to say, Jesus loves you in French. Does that sound good, kids?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Does anyone already know how to say it? No? Okay. So all you have to do is say, Jésus t'aime. Can you repeat that?
Jésus t'aime.
Okay, really good. So it's just like the letter J, and then the name Sue, and then the name Tim. Jésus t'aime. Okay. But as I said, there's 70 different tribal languages in Burkina Faso as well. So we're going to learn how to say Jesus loves you in another language. And this one's a little bit harder. We say, Winnen on the full.
No, on the full.
Ah, good. You guys are great. I think you should be missionaries to Burkina Faso. Okay, let's try it again with the adults and see if they can get it, okay? Winnen on the full.
Winnen on the full.
Okay, great. So now you guys are all ready to come join me in Burkina Faso. So anyway, language was one of the reasons that I said, God, I shouldn't go to Burkina Faso. And then I also said, you know, God, I don't know the culture in Burkina Faso. You know, there's lots of things like you're not supposed to touch someone with your left hand because they consider that an insult. Or you're not supposed to sneeze while you're teaching because that's considered disrespectful. And, you know, one day I was walking down the street in Burkina Faso, just going to the store, and I saw a lady that I'd never met before, and she started talking to me, and one of the first things she said was, my son is ready for his fourth wife. Are you ready? And being from the U.S. where this has never happened to me, I was like, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to respond to this. I obviously don't want to say yes, but I don't want to be rude either. And so I thought, you know, someone who already understands this culture should come be a missionary here. And then, you know, I even thought someone who knows how to cook from scratch because a lot of ingredients aren't available should come work here and not someone who uses Hamburger Helper. And then I also thought, you know, someone who knows how to drive a moped should be here because that's the main way that people get around. And during my first lesson, that was, you know, kind of actually proof that I shouldn't be there. My teacher had me practice a little bit on the dirt roads in our neighborhood, and then after a while, he was like, okay, I think you're ready to go out on the paved road. And so all he wanted me to do was turn onto the paved road, drive one block, and then turn around and come back. And so I thought, okay, I can manage this. So I got on. Got on the paved road fine, it made the turn to come back, okay? And then all I had to do was turn left and I'd be off the paved road where it was safe. But as I was turning, I just got off balance and so my aim wasn't right and I knew that I was not going to make the turn. And so I kind of panicked. And, you know, when people panic, a lot of times they just kind of grip whatever they're holding on to. And the thing that I was holding on to was the accelerator. And so I started speeding up. And I had a foot brake, but my foot kind of slipped off it when I sped up. And so I was, like, searching all over, but I couldn't look down to find it because, you know, all these horrible sights were in front of me of the things I was going to hit. And so I'm just speeding, and I ended up going up the wrong lane of traffic. And I was barely able to avoid some cars, but I can see the faces of people, like, looking out at me, going, what is this crazy girl doing? But fortunately, God protected me. I managed to stop the moped, got off the road, and just like with French, God helped me learn how to drive a moped, too. So I haven't had any more experiences like that. But, you know, I had this long list of reasons why I would be a good missionary and why God should choose someone else. But then I read a verse that comes from 2 Corinthians. And it is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And so I had a long list of weaknesses, and I realized that that meant that God had a whole bunch of opportunities to show his perfection and his strength in my life. And so I was thinking, when I share the gospel with someone in French, and that person understands it and believes in Jesus, I know that it's not because I used all the right words. It's not because I was really persuasive. But I know that the only way that that could happen is because God is working in that person's heart. Because God was there. And I know that all of us here have weaknesses. And we all have things that we know God wants us to do, but we don't think that we can. But I just wanted to encourage you with this verse. It says that God's grace is sufficient for you. And there's an example of this in the Old Testament. So if you want to turn to Joshua 3, looking a little at Joshua 3 and 4, and I won't actually read much of the passage, but I'll be referencing it. And in this passage, Joshua had just taken charge of the Israelites. And they had just finished their 40 years in the desert. They were finally ready to go into the promised land, and they were right next to it. Now, all they had to do was cross the Jordan River, and they'd be there. But there was a problem, because there were no bridges over the Jordan River. The Israelites didn't have any boats, and at this time, it was flood season. So that means that the water was really deep. It was a long ways from one side to the other. And it was also rushing very quickly, so it was very dangerous. And I'm sure that after 40 years in the desert, the Israelites hadn't had a lot of opportunity to practice their swimming lessons. So I don't think they knew how to swim. And so they were thinking, how are we supposed to get across this river? And so Joshua prayed, and he asked God for help. And God told them what they were supposed to do. And what he said is, "The Ark of the Covenant will go ahead of the Israelites." And so he didn't really tell them how they were going to get across the river, but he told them the order that they were going to go in to get there. He said that the Ark of the Covenant will go first. And in that time, God had chosen to concentrate his presence and his spirit in the Ark of the Covenant. So basically he was saying, God is going to go first. He's going to go ahead of you. And in the New Testament, we see that God chose to concentrate his spirit and his presence in the person of Jesus. But then after Jesus died and was raised to life, we see that God sent his Holy Spirit. And now God concentrates his presence in those of us who believe in him. And so the God of the universe is in us. And if God is telling us to do something, it's like the Israelites with the Ark of the Covenant. The priests had to move forward so that God's presence would move forward. And us too, if we want God to move forward, then we have to move forward because he lives in us. We can't stand still. But we have that promise that he is with us. And so the Israelites were getting ready to cross the Jordan River.
And since we have some kids here with us, I think we might act out this part of the story. So are there six kids that want to help me act it out? Okay, I see four back there, so you guys can come on up. June is your fifth one, so you can come on up. Yes, you. And we need one more person to help. Oh, there, come on up.
That was kind of scary because I could hear the bullets and
I could hear the shots. And then they managed to get the president to step down, and they replaced him with someone else. But then a couple months later, there was a coup d'etat, and they kidnapped the president. And so the people who had done the coup d'etat were shooting the army that came to try and stop them. So again, I could hear the shots in the streets. And, you know, again, God worked, and that was cleared up, and the president was released and was put back in office. And then a couple months later, there was a terrorist attack in the town where I live. And, you know, I had a friend who was actually in the restaurant that was attacked, and she managed to get out, and she called me, and, you know, she was okay. But again, that was a scary thing. And I think that all of this shows is that God is doing great things in Burkina Faso, and the enemy wants to stop it. And this shows just how important prayer is. And so I wanted to thank all of you who have been praying for me, because it really is so important. And I know that God has great things that he wants to do with Burkina Faso. And I just thank all of you who have supported me financially as well, and who have given to Faith Promise. Without you, I could not be in Burkina Faso to see what God is doing there. And if there's someone here who does not yet receive my prayer newsletters, but you would like to get those, I send them out 4 times a year, and I just have some specific prayer requests and some updates that you can pray about. So in the foyer, there is a sign-up sheet if you want to sign up for that. I'll be out there after the service as well if you have any questions. Right now, I am planning to go back to Burkina Faso in January, as long as things stay fairly calm in the country. And they have put in more security measures, so I think it'll be okay. But again, I just wanted to thank all of you for what you have done for me, and just for being my brothers and sisters and my family in Christ. I pray for you all the time, even when I'm overseas, and I just pray that God will really bless you. So thank you for all that you've done.